My beloved brothers and sisters, I'm pleased with the opportunity to speak to you. I thank each of you for your prayers in my behalf. I'm so very deeply grateful to you. In my 49 years as a general authority, I have spoken well over 200 times in general conference. I am now in my 97th year. The wind is blowing, and I feel like the last leaf on the tree. Actually, my health is quite good, despite all the rumors to the contrary. Skillful doctors and nurses keep me on the right track. Some of you may go before I do. However, with my age in mind, I wish to give you my testimony of the basic truths of this work. I confess that I do not know everything, but of some things I am certain. Of the things of which I know, I speak to you this morning. When the Emperor Constantine was converted to Christianity, he became aware of the divisiveness among the clergy concerning the nature of deity. In an attempt to overcome this, he gathered the eminent divines of the day to Nicaea in the year 325. Each participant was given opportunity to state his views. The argument only grew more heated. When a definition could not be reached, a compromise was known. It came to be known as the Nicene Creed, and its basic elements are recited by most of the Christian faithful. Personally, I cannot understand it. To me, the creed is confusing. How deeply grateful I am that we of this church do not rely on any man-made statement concerning the nature of deity. Our knowledge comes directly from the personal experience of Joseph Smith, who, while yet a boy, spoke with God the Eternal Father and his beloved Son, the risen Lord. He knelt in their presence. He heard their voices, and he responded. Each was a distinct personality. Small wonder that he told his mother that he had learned that her church was not true. And so, one of the great overarching doctrines of this church is our belief in God the Eternal Father. He is a being, real and individual. He is the great governor of the universe, yet he is our Father, and we are his children. We pray to him, and those prayers are a conversation between God and man. I am confident that he hears our prayers and answers them. I could not deny that. I have had too many experiences of answered prayers. Alma instructed his son Helaman, saying, "Counsel with the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. And if ye do these things, ye shall be lifted up at the last day." The second great certitude, of which I am sure, also has its foundation in the vision of the prophet Joseph. It is that Jesus lives. He is the living Christ. He is the Jehovah of the Old Testament and the Messiah of the new. Under his father's direction, he was the creator of the earth. The Gospel of John opens with these remarkable words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Note particularly that last verse. All things were made by him, and was not anything made that was made. He was the great creator. It was his finger that wrote the commandments on the mount. It was he who left his royal courts on high and came to earth, born under the most humble of circumstances. During his brief ministry, he healed the sick, caused the blind to see, raised the dead, rebuked the scribes and Pharisees. He was the only perfect man ever to walk the earth. All of this was part of his Father's plan. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he suffered so greatly that he sweat drops of blood as he pleaded with his Father. But this was all a part of his great atoning sacrifice. He was taken by the mob, appeared before Pilate, with the mob crying for his death. He carried the cross, the instrument of his death. On Golgotha, he gave his life, crying out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." His body was tenderly laid in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. 3 days later, on that first Easter morning, the tomb was emptied. Mary of Magdala spoke to him, and he spoke to her. He appeared to his apostles. He walked with two strangers on the road to Emmaus. And we are told he was seen by some 500 others. He had said, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Accordingly, he appeared to those assembled in the land Bountiful in the Western Hemisphere. Here he taught the people as he had taught them in the old world. This is all recorded in detail in the Book of Mormon, which stands as a second witness of the divinity of our Lord. And to repeat, both he and his father appeared to the boy Joseph, the father introducing the son, saying, "This is my